anguish of the grave came over me. I was overcome by distress and sorrow. When I called on the name of the Lord, Lord, save me. The Lord is gracious and righteous. Our Lord is full of compassion. The Lord protects the unweary. And when I was brought low, he saved me. Return to your rest, my soul, for the Lord has been good to you.
Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Have you ever been so tired and overwhelmed with life that you feel you cannot go on another step? You've been up all night and day, and the problems just seem insurmountable, but sleep just wouldn't come. Maybe that charming, sweet little baby that you've heard us all ooh and ah over in this service, maybe she's been up all night crying. Nothing seems to satisfy. You've checked everything. Nothing can be wrong. She's not wet. He's not hungry. No runny nose. No fever, just crying and crying and crying. And at times it turns into that loud, prolonged screaming. You pace the floor. You rock. You offer the pacifier, and that's quickly spit out. You're exhausted, but your spouse has to work the next day. So you keep pacing. It's your turn. You've got to stay up with this baby. You pray. And you pray, seemingly to no avail. The baby's still unhappy. Or maybe sometime you've done something pretty stupid. Maybe you turned left in front of an oncoming car. You were in a hurry and you thought you had enough time. But you misjudged. There's no question that you were at fault. The police verified that when they came. The damage to both cars didn't look too bad. But it's probably going to cost a whole lot more than it appears. You're thankful that no one appeared to be hurt, but there is that lingering worry that perhaps the other driver will claim whiplash injury. The inconvenience and the expense of this mess that you created has you up night with worry. You feel so stupid. You can't seem to forgive yourself. You need to sleep to think clearly, but sleep evades you. You have to get to work in the morning. You certainly need your paycheck more now than ever. We've all struggled, even with disagreements within our families at times. And you know, sometimes those family disagreements are the hardest. We've attempted to make our Christian faith central to all that we do. We pray, but at times even sensing God's presence escapes us. And even at times prayer seems difficult. We wonder, where are you, God? We're living presently in a time of great change in our country, great change in the world. Life is getting more complicated all the time. Just reading the newspaper or hearing the news on television causes alarm and worry, causes some sleepless nights. It's hard to comprehend that 9 people were shot in a church by welcoming a stranger into a Bible study with love and acceptance. They welcomed him as Jesus taught us to do. All that violence and death over hatred, hatred of those perceived as different than oneself. We can't comprehend the pain and agony of so many people and tragedies around the world, tragedies such as that. And they're happening all over the world, and we ask, where is God in all this? If we're honest with ourselves, I believe that most of us have times of worrying. Where is God? We pray and the problems seem to continue. I think we all struggle at times with prayer. We know that Jesus prayed and he told us to pray. We believe in prayer. We pray when we meet together. We pray throughout the week. But most of us still have times of asking why. Why, God? If you're one of those for whom prayer is not always easy, let me assure you that you're not alone. Even the disciples of Jesus struggled with prayer. In Luke 11, we read, "One day, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.' And he said to them, 'When you pray, say, Our Father, who art in heaven.'" Of course, that's the prayer we say every Sunday morning, and we call it the Lord's Prayer. Perhaps it was surprising to read that this request came from Jesus' disciples, "Teach us to pray," because being Jews, the disciples had known about prayer. They'd been raised with prayer. Prayer offered throughout the day. They would have memorized prayers. They would have gone to synagogue and prayed. So his disciples were not at all unfamiliar with prayer, and yet they ask for help from Jesus. They noticed that Jesus looked forward to prayer. Jesus actually hungered for prayer. They saw that somehow prayer fed Jesus' soul the way that food fed their bodies. They noticed that at crisis points in Jesus' life, and when he was tired, and on a very regular basis, Jesus turned to God in prayer. He valued prayer greatly. And his disciples longed to be nourished the way that Jesus was. So we're in good company when we sometimes struggle with prayer. Do any of you remember being a young person and being asked to participate in sentence prayers, either in a Sunday school class or maybe camp? I see some nods. Do we still do that, you younger folks? Yeah? Were you comfortable with it? Not always. When I was a little girl, there was a lot of silence, and I bet there still is now. And we used to hold hands, and we'd squeeze the next person when we were done. And I can remember thinking, that's what I was going to thank God for. And John next to me said the same thing. I have to think of something different. It seemed like everyone else was better at it than I was. Now, that's an honest attempt for our teachers to help us learn to pray. It was hard, especially for us shy ones. But I am thankful for our teachers who've made that attempt to teach us to pray, to teach us God's word. Jesus often went off alone to pray. He went alone to pray when he was exhausted. That was one of the times. And note that the scriptures say that Jesus taught his disciples. He felt that prayer was a learning process. To learn most things requires work and practice and some faith that we can succeed. To learn to read required concentration, practice. We made a lot of mistakes. In this congregation, I see a lot of musicians. All of you know what that took to become a musician. It was a lot of practice, daily practice, a lot of mistakes along the way, but some faith that you were going to make it. To maintain our skill and comfort level with anything takes ongoing dedication and effort. And I think that prayer also requires ongoing discipline and practice. God answers and hears all prayers, even those halting, I can't put it into word prayers. Many of my prayers are silent and wordless, sort of a clearing of my mind in an attempt to allow God to speak to me. I may feel great emotion. I might feel the presence of God in those quiet times, but I'm often unable to put into words what I'm feeling. To me, those are among my most meaningful prayer times, and they're very private times. Perhaps some of you have had some of those quiet times, those private times. I hope so. I believe that prayer is a dialogue between one's soul, our very being, and God. Whenever we connect or converse with God, we are praying. We tend to complicate prayer. And I believe that Jesus taught us to keep it simple. To come to God as we are. To come with all of our faults and our weaknesses. When we think about communication with a friend or a family member, we know that we all converse in various ways. We can have a give and take discussion. Sometimes we can be quite brief and to the point. Sometimes we just sit in silence together. We might argue and disagree. We certainly communicate with body language and facial expressions. Each child knows what that look means. In our family, everyone knows what the Slocum look is. Now, my mother, as a child, was Mary Slocum. And her entire family had an expression that, without words, everyone around knew that look, and it meant business. And it wasn't happy, and it wasn't approval, usually, of what you were doing. Now, Dave tells me that I inherited that ability to use that look, and that I can get a point across without using words. That comes in handy sometimes. Do you have one of those looks in your family? When we think about it, we humans certainly do have a lot of ways we communicate, and God created us that way. Sometimes I think we have trouble hearing God in prayer because we are so limited in the ways we communicate. God is not limited to human voices. God speaks to us in countless ways. He speaks through music, books, people, nature, even through the hectic activities that we are so good at engaging in if we pause to listen for God. In prayer, we communicate with God in countless ways. We bring our emotions and our whole being into our times with God. Prayer is a dialogue. It's not a monologue. It's not a one-way conversation with us doing all the talking. If it's a one-way conversation, it needs to be God doing the talking. We all know people who are so overbearing that they monopolize all conversation. That is one way of controlling us and the conversation. But it's almost impossible to build a deep relationship on that basis. There needs to be give and take, talking, and a whole lot of listening. Just as there needs to be the sharing of both parties to develop any meaningful friendship, it is the same for developing a relationship with our Lord. We can't control God, and we need His advice far more than He needs ours. We often come with our own expectations, and we pray so fervently for our wish that we might be blocking what God might be saying to us. Have you noticed how noisy our world has become? How many of us carried a phone into worship this morning? I see a lot of hands going up. Well, I hope it's on silent mode. But if we feel that vibration, what a distraction. We really are tempted to look and see, who is it? Is it a text? Who is it? What do they need? Rarely is it an emergency, but it's a distraction. Probably when we leave this sanctuary, if we haven't looked already, we're going to check that cell phone. It seems that we have a constant need to be in touch. When we go to a restaurant or into the mall, there seems to always be music playing. And it's a bit too loud, and often it's not the kind of music I appreciate. And all this music and then causes people to talk all the louder and the louder. And in our homes, there seems to always be a television playing. It's really hard to get quiet time. The well-known Catholic priest and author Henry Nouwen wrote, "The loud, boisterous noises of the world make us deaf to the soft, gentle, and loving voice of God." When some of us older folks were children, we had a lot of time to sit and think. I can remember lying in the front yard or the backyard for long periods of time. I would look up at the clouds, seemed like by the hour on a beautiful day, and I'd watch them just slowly move across the sky. Some look like animals, might be a duck, might be a horse, even a fish. Others kind of reminded me of people I knew, and a lot of them were like huge cotton balls. I often thought about what God was like, that he created all that beauty and peacefulness within me at those quiet times. I learned about God in Sunday school. When I was a young child, we didn't have a television. We didn't have a lot of toys. But I always had a doll. My favorite doll was Bobby. He was the first boy doll that I ever saw. I wanted him so much for Christmas, and it was like a miracle when I found him under the tree. I spent hours just being with Bobby. I was shy and quiet, and so was Bobby, and he understood me. I was the middle of three girls, and we had a lot of time to reflect and think. And we each practiced our piano for 30 minutes every single day without fail. My mother saw to that. And we learned to pray, play. And we still play to this day, many years later. I think prayer is like that. If we practice and practice, we learn to pray. I sort of miss the quiet and peacefulness of those days. Now we have to carve out time in our busy days to find silence and solitude. But it is worth doing. As we practice silence, we become more and more attuned to God speaking to us. As we pray more often, our love for God expands as our relationship with God grows. When we pray to God, we open ourselves to God. And we discover how present he is in our lives and how much God loves us. God helps us to see ourselves through his eyes. We see our faults and our flaws more clearly. As our love for God deepens, we begin to cherish our time in prayer. We notice that we feel empty when we skip those times with God. In any healthy, long-lasting relationship with another person, we get more and more comfortable as the years go by. We find that we enjoy the peace and quiet of just being together. We may find joy in long periods of silence. We know that person so well that words aren't always necessary. We feel secure and we know that we are loved. Through prayer, we can get the same feeling of peace and comfort of just being with God. But we have to work at it, just as we need to work at all friendships. In Mark 1:35, we read, "In the morning, while it was still very dark, Jesus got up and went out to a deserted place. And there he prayed. praying was a priority for Jesus. And in his busy life, he made time to be alone with God. When we open our hearts to God, he meets us where we are and slowly moves us along into a closer, ongoing relationship. And God's timetable is often a whole lot slower than we would like. One of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. It's up to each of us to figure out how and when we are going to do that. Let us pray. As we pause in silence this day, our God, we long to feel your presence, to be close to you. Help us to find those times when life's activity calms and we can be still and know that you are our God. If you are able, would you rise and join together in the singing of Let Us Break Bread Together.